John Myers is a reporter for the Duluth News Tribune and has been following the latest Polymet mine developments. He is a strong environmental reporter for the newspaper. And about a week ago, the supplemental draft environmental impact statement was released by the Department of Natural Resources for what is being referred to as the NorthMet project. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jay.
Well, John, this is a very complicated, over 2,000 pages. I'm sure you've digested the whole thing by now.
Oh, yeah, backwards, too.
Oh, good, good, yeah. Well, that's about as far as I got was the backwards part. So talk about what is known now as the NorthMet project, what it involves, and is there anything new in this, what amounts to second or supplemental draft environmental impact statement?
Well, it's not necessarily new from what we've seen maybe over the last 3 to 6 months sort of leak out or filter out as people have requested parts of it. But now it's all together, and I've noticed both sides have sort of been quiet for the last week, I think, as they pitched their tents and started reading this thing. It's, like you said, it's 2,169 pages. Even the executive summary is 57 pages long. But what's new here is that this kind of becomes a transition point for over the last 3 years, and your listeners may recall that we went through this once before in 2009 where they put out an environmental impact statement, and it was so broadly and widely criticized that they basically had to go back and start over. And since 2010, they've been doing that, but it's been sort of behind the scenes. The public hasn't had a chance to see it. Now it's out there. We can go online and read it, or if you don't mind losing some trees, you can print it off and read it. And then in January, we get three shots to comment in person, public meetings in Duluth, Aurora, and in the Twin Cities. And you can also comment online or comment by mail. So this is sort of the point where everybody gets to look at it and see exactly where it is. And it's a big step for the company because they've spent about $150 million to get here. Polymet isn't really new. It was created back in the 80s. We've been writing about it at the News Tribune. I think we found our first story in 1999. I've been writing about it since 2004. So it's taken Polymet a long time just to get here. So we're sort of at a transition point, Jay, I think, where folks are going to start to dig in and see really what's in there.
Well, in a nutshell, John, the now known as NorthMet project involves exactly what?
Well, it's going to be Minnesota's first ever copper mine. We've been mining iron ore in the state for over a century, but we've never done copper, nickel, platinum, palladium, gold to any extent before, and this would be the first shot. We've known about this stuff for at least a half a century since the 40s, but for various reasons, nobody has really tried to go after it. There was a spurt back in the 70s, some people may recall, and the state basically put a little hold on it then and said, we're not ready for this. And part of the problem is it's actually a fairly diminished resource in the fact that it's not concentrated. There's a lot of it down there, but it's spread out. Mm-hmm. And it's what's in the Duluth complex that kind of runs parallel with the Iron Range, but actually all the way up in towards your country, up into the Boundary Waters and down as far as, say, just north of Duluth.
Go ahead.
This stuff, it's been there. There's a lot of it. It's been called by geologists probably the largest untapped copper, nickel, palladium group metals deposit in the world. But it's down there pretty deep. It's not very concentrated, and you're going to have to go through a lot of rock to get to the good stuff.
And that seems to be part of the problem. According to the executive summary, they mention, as we all know from prior discussions, water quality is a big issue here, and apparently they've done quite a bit of work to alleviate our concerns about things like aluminum, lead, and mercury. But it still remains a problem. Now, why is that such a concern with what's being referred to as sulfate mining?
Well, and that's a bit of a pejorative term because you're not actually mining sulfide, but copper,
right.
Copper by nature is locked in rock that's high in sulfide or high in sulfur, to make it easier. And when you expose that rock to air and water, which is pretty, you almost have to do it if you're going to mine it, you get sulfuric acid runoff. And it's just, that's just the science. There's no way to get around that. Mm-hmm. Now, this copper happens to be locked in rock that's relatively low in sulfur compared to most other copper mines. It's also one of the reasons why it's not quite as rich or as concentrated. But so what you're seeing, some of the regulators say, including the DNR, which sort of seems to be backing the company on this, is that this is so low in sulfur and that they've got such a good plan now to take care of that, that it's not going to be an issue. In fact, one of the DNR folks last Friday said, you know, there will not be acid mine drainage from this project. I'm not quite sure how he can guarantee that, but he seemed to be out there on a limb doing that. But so you've got this problem of whenever you dig up this rock, you're going to get sulfuric acid runoff when you expose it to air and water. Now, one of the new things they've done in the last 3 years is added a very complicated and expensive reverse osmosis water treatment system. So water.
Yeah, you covered that pretty carefully in the past and completely, I might say.
Yes. Yeah, and it's a fairly known technology. I mean, folks use it to mm-hmm. turn seawater into drinking water, but it's expensive and it's going to have to be for a long time. And some of your listeners may recall that over the last few months, there's been this reference to 500 years. Well, we know through modeling that it's going to be at least 500 years that you might get you might need to treat water coming off this site, but they don't know how long because the models didn't go out that far. They just modeled it for 200 and 500 years, and they said, "Well, it looks like it'll work for that long," but they never really said, "Well, how long is it going to be?" So there's this big debate over we're going to mine for about 20, 25 years, and then we're going to have to treat the water there for 200, 500. You know, we don't know how many years. So that's one of the issues.
And as I understand it, the offset on that is, according to PolyMet, the number of job creations, and both immediate and in the future, and revenues to the state and federal in terms of taxes, and I'm sure it would also affect the revenues for IRRRB. Who knows? You know. So what we've got is a 500-year minimum against millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of money that's locked in the ground up there is staggering. I mean, you look, even though copper prices and precious metal prices have come down a bit, you know, we're talking trillions of dollars. So there's a lot at stake. You know, obviously, we're not going to get it all up there, but there are about six different projects proposed, and PolyMet's sort of the bellwether for these. The other ones are sort of waiting in the wings to see what happens with PolyMet, both Twin Metals.
And
Franconia, and there's other folks that are looking at these. But yeah, just PolyMet alone, the University of Minnesota Duluth did a study and came up with a number of $515 million economic impact just for St. Louis County. Mm-hmm. Their federal taxes, they'd pay about $45 million a year. They will create, in the first phase, if this is done, about 300 jobs. Now, folks argue whether 300 jobs in the Hoyt Lakes area is a big deal or not. I mean, if you're the mayor of Hoyt Lakes, it's a very big deal. But it's certainly not like in the 1970s in a big taconite mine. Like, you'd have Erie operating in Hoyt Lakes, and in Taconite Harbor up there had probably 3,000 or 4,000 employees. But technology has changed, automation has changed, and they can do this with about 300. If they go on to build a hydrometallurgical plant to further process the copper, that would add about 60 more jobs. So you're seeing the number 360 jobs. But about double that in spin-off jobs to suppliers and things like that.
Well, this is obviously an issue that's going to be around for quite some time, and so will the pros and cons, the controversy, et cetera. But as you look down the road and covering issues like this, any kind of an idea as to when we'll begin to get, I know there's a public input period, but I mean, when are we going to get down to answering really specific questions and getting what hopefully will be a significant and positive comment period and discussion?
Well, as I said, we got the public meetings in January. I think that's going to be mostly high theater as opposed to shedding any kind of brilliant light on anything. But so March 13th is the end of the public comment period. That may well be extended. You're going to see a big push by the environmental community to extend that out at least another 60 to 90 days. And they have some sense of that. You know, they took 3 years to put this together, and you're giving folks only 3 months to study it. So, you know, they might have a point there. Sometime next year, the agencies involved, the Forest Service, the Corps of Engineers, the DNR, the three primary ones, are going to have to decide whether or not this is adequate, whether this whole environmental review has been adequate. If they make that decision that it is, that all the questions have been at least raised, maybe not answered to everybody's satisfaction, but at least raised and asked and answered, they will deem it adequate, and the company will start applying for permits. And it's, I think, 21 different permits they need. The big ones are wetlands, permit to mine, things like that. And it's in that period, and some people have even criticized this, it's at that period where they're going to determine how much money PolyMet's going to have to put up front in sort of an insurance policy to cover the cost of closing the mine down the road, and whether or not, and then how much money it might cost to run that treatment system.
Kind of like a construction bond.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a bond. Yeah. It could be a cash account. It's going to have to be more than just a promise. The state's made it pretty clear that you're not just going to promise it. We're not just going to get some equity stake in the company. It's going to have to be an actual some amount somewhere that's real. The estimate in one of the other new things that was in here is that it's going to cost at least $200 million to close this mine, plus about $5 million
really?
A year. Yeah, and that was sort of a little known. So $200 million just to close it, and about $5 million a year to run the treatment. And we don't know if the treatment will capture everything, so we don't know how much it might cost to solve problems downstream. So it's going to be a lot of money, and that's going to be a decision. That may come real late in 2014, whether or not they actually get those permits, and maybe they're thinking construction starts sometime in 2015, about a year and a half to build it. So mining may be late in 2016. That would be if everything fell together, and in this process so far, that really hasn't happened. So it's a couple years out at least.
Well, we will be following your stories in the Duluth News Tribune as we go through this process. Hopefully get back to you and talk to you more. Help us understand this in as much as you know more about it than I do. And well, we just want our listeners to get as round an idea of what's going on in this, predictably very important project for both the environment and for employment and anything else.
Yeah, it's a big deal in northeastern Minnesota.
I think
folks are paying attention.
John Myers is a reporter for the Duluth News Tribune, covers environmental affairs and particularly the PolyMet mine developments. Thanks so much for joining us, John. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jay. Stay warm.